Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I am going to the Father. That saying of Jesus confused his disciples greatly at the time. John's repetition of it over and over, what Jesus said, the disciples wondering about it, shows just how confused they were. But it would all make sense within just a few days. He spoke those words to them on Maundy Thursday evening while they were walking from the upper room in Jerusalem over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And sure enough, in just a little while, in a couple of hours, they wouldn't see Jesus because he would be arrested and taken away and they would flee from him. Then the next day they would see him briefly as he was condemned and crucified and then buried. And then they didn't see him at all while his dead body lay in the tomb. Not until Easter evening, 2 days later, when he would appear to them, they would see him again. The world had rejoiced, but when he appeared to them, their sorrow was gone and their joy returned. And all the sorrow just vanished in seeing the living Lord Jesus. That's fine for the disciples. What about us? Do these words of Jesus have any meaning for us who have never seen Jesus and who never will see him until the day of our death or of his return? They do have meaning for us, but the meaning is more spiritual than literal. Let's think about that for a moment this morning. It was literally a little while before the disciples didn't see Jesus, and then literally a little while before they did see him again alive. It would be nice if it were literally just a little while before we could see Jesus. But then, think about the reason why the disciples didn't see Jesus for that little while. They didn't see him because he was literally dead and buried. Crucified, dead and buried. Be thankful that you've never known a time, not even a little while, when Jesus was literally dead. Be thankful, because since the moment you were born, the one who gave his life for you on the cross has been alive. Alive and well. Alive and ruling over all things. There has never been a moment, not even for a little while in your life, when the Lord of life was lying dead in a tomb. You never had to experience that little while of not seeing Jesus, the little while when he was literally dead. But you may have experienced a little while in your life when you thought he was dead, when you didn't believe in the living Lord Jesus. Even on that first Easter Sunday, between the morning when Jesus rose from the dead and wasn't dead anymore, and his appearance to his disciples later in the day, he was alive, but they still thought he was dead, and so all their sorrow and grief were still there. If you had to deal with your own sins, with your own bad behavior, with your own self-absorption, you would be sorrowful too. You've messed up in God's sight. You've been messing up since the time you were born, even conceived on the inside, and it didn't take long for you to start messing up on the outside too. You know that your flesh, your old man, still doubts God, still doesn't want to be under his rule, still focuses on serving himself. To live with the holy God, you have to be holy like God, not just a good person or a decent person, but a holy person, and you aren't that. And without an advocate, without a mediator whom God Himself provides for you to make your case before God, you have no hope. You have only sorrow. There was a time in your life, even if you don't remember, even if you were too little to remember it, when you were in that position, without an advocate before God, without a mediator. But then you learned that God has, in fact, provided a mediator for every sinner. You learned that the mediator was crucified for your sins, and you learned that he was raised from the dead, that you can rely on him to make your case before God based on his own record of obedience and holiness and on his own death. And so you began to use the living Christ as your mediator before God. You began to trust in him as your redeemer from sin. And the sorrow that came with guilt, the sorrow that came with despair, was replaced with joy. You didn't see Jesus for a little while before you heard and believed the gospel. But when you heard it and believed it, every time you hear it and believe it, sorrow gives way to joy in the living Christ. There is another little while of not seeing Jesus we need to talk about, and that's the little while before Jesus returns visibly to the earth, a time which often includes suffering for us who don't see him now. St. Peter makes reference to that little while in the first chapter of his first epistle when he says, "If need be, you have been grieved for a little while by various trials." Right now we don't see Jesus. Even though we know he isn't literally dead, even though we know he's alive, we still don't see him. What we see is a world that hates him and that hates Christians, and that hatred is becoming more and more open and widespread. And I suppose one reason for that is that during a time of crisis or uncertainty, people tend to move closer to their God. For unbelievers, that means moving closer to the devil, the father of lies, and the first hater to ever exist. He rules by deception, fear, chaos, mockery, timidity, anger, selfishness, and lawlessness. He is the ultimate tyrant. All the tyranny in the world owes its origins to him, and all the tyrants in the world take their direction from him as they draw closer and closer to him. As Jesus told his disciples, "Truly, truly, I tell you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." That's happening now. The world, even in its panic and uncertainty, rejoices that Jesus is gone out of the picture, rejoices that churches are closed, rejoices that Christians are being silenced and marginalized. The world rejoices because people think they are finally going to get complete control over this world, and they will rule with an iron fist, just like their father, the devil. But for Christians, during a time of crisis or uncertainty, we take refuge more and more in the risen Lord Christ and find joy and peace in knowing that even though we can't see him now, we will see him soon, in a little while, when he comes to rescue us from this evil world. And even the reason we don't see him now gives us comfort. We don't see him now because he's ruling as king at the right hand of God. He rules by truth, boldness, peace, kindness, courage, wisdom, justice, and love. And even though we don't see those things flourishing in the world, we pray that they may flourish in us and among us, even as we believe in the one who rules by those very things. And when we trust in him and when we strive to live like him, we win. We overcome the world and its devil tyrant through faith in the Lord whom we don't see now, but will see in a little while. Peter has some advice for Christians during that little while we wait to see Jesus. As the world pursues fleshly lusts more and more, Peter says to Christians, abstain from fleshly lusts. As the world behaves badly, St. Peter says, you behave well among the Gentiles, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good works and glorify God on the day of visitation. Notice, Peter doesn't expect the unbelievers to praise God for the good works of Christians now, during this life. Now they will speak against you as evildoers, even as they are doing. But on the day of visitation, when Jesus returns, they will have to begrudgingly acknowledge before God that his people did good, not evil. Of course, that means, as Peter also points out, that we need to be especially careful not to be doing evil, but to do good, which includes submitting to the authorities, except where their commands conflict with God's commands, as when they try to keep us from gathering to worship our God. Now, it's hard to honor the king, as Peter writes, when the king is dishonorable. And you can judge for yourselves with the wisdom God gives you which kings are honorable and dishonorable. But God has granted a certain amount of honor to all governors and rulers. So I caution you to keep that in mind, even when you disagree with them and may have to take a stand against some of the things they say or do. Even if they stoke the fires of persecution, don't behave as the devil's children do, with rage and anger and gnashing of teeth, but as God's children who know that, as Peter wrote in the epistle, it is commendable if a person, for the sake of conscience toward God, endures grief when suffering wrongfully. In any case, none of this will last more than a little while, relatively speaking. Then we will see Jesus again, and the world's dreams of total control will vanish in an instant, and we will have all eternity to live in peace and safety and the freedom of God's children. You have sorrow now, Jesus says, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. Remember that Jesus rose from the dead. Remember that he reigns at God's right hand. Remember that he is coming again. And when you remember, rejoice. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.